We have these very grand words in our benediction. And return no one evil for evil. Maybe it seems very simple to you. Maybe it seems very difficult. I hope we're both fuzzing it up and offering some thoughts about how to move forward with that challenging commandment to ourselves. Those exact words, I mean, in translation, of course, come from the New Testament, not from Jesus, although he said very similar things, but from Paul's letter to the Romans. Return no one evil for evil. Writing to a minority, to members of a new religion who are trying to establish themselves in Rome, in the belly of the beast, where it would become increasingly dangerous to uphold their religion. And Paul was saying to them, these people who are in great danger of persecution, do not return evil for evil. So many religious teachings have something similar. There's a story told of Muhammad that there was a woman who threw garbage on some of the versions say on his steps so that he would encounter it whenever he came in or out of his house. Some say right on his head as he was walking past. A hostile neighbor who did not hold back in expressing her hostility to him whenever he came into sight. And the story goes that then he didn't see her for a couple of days. No garbage appeared or fell upon his head as he walked by. So he inquired what was up with his neighbor, and another neighbor said, oh, she's become very ill. So Muhammad went to her and asked, how is she doing? And could he help her, being that she was home ill? And then there's the story of the Buddha as he approached enlightenment. It's said that Mara, who's variously called the demon of death or the demon of evil, began firing every imaginable weapon at the Buddha to stop him from this understanding. Cannons, arrows, you name it. And if you look on our website on the photograph for the painting that illustrates today's service, it shows the moment where the Buddha, as if there were this perfect glass shield around him, turned away all of the arrows, all of the missiles, and they fell to the earth as flowers. Didn't fire arrows back. He didn't turn them back upon Mara, though clearly in this wonderful magical telling he could do anything. No. He transformed them into flowers and they fell. That's a lovely ideal. And yet clearly we must resist evil. Because people commit terrible wrongs and inflict terrible harm upon us and upon others, upon innocents, upon the earth, upon children, babies even. And as various people have been credited with saying, all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is for good people to do nothing. There's a little, meme going around my Facebook spaces sometimes that says, you know what you call all those people who didn't belong to the Nazi party but just let things happen to their neighbors? You call them Nazis. I don't think so. I think that's exactly the point. We don't have to sign wholeheartedly or even half-heartedly onto evil in order to let it triumph. We just have to put our heads down, take care of ourselves, and do nothing. And as Kat said, courage is required when evil is done, which it always is somewhere. So how are we to resist evil? And how are we to do that without returning evil for evil? Well, there's so many things we can do beyond, you know, voting as we do in a democratic society. Still very few people vote even in a presidential election, and certainly in quote-unquote off-year elections. So informing ourselves and making the decision on the continuum of what is the better thing, who is the better candidate, what is the better policy at any given moment, that's all very important, and that is part of resisting evil. And then there's things that bring us face to face with people who are frightening, like going to a counter-protest, going to where people are screaming for mass deportations and putting our bodies there and saying, with no confidence, that the authorities will protect us in particular, saying, no, I stand here, I sit here firmly in defense of what I believe is right. That's resistance. Gandhi wrote about satyagraha, what gets translated, quoted as nonviolent resistance or peaceful resistance in English, is actually called clinging to the truth in Sanskrit. Satyagraha was the movement, to cling to the truth. And that is how he sought to teach people to resist evil, not by turning the arrows back. I am going to hit you back as hard as you hit me, harder. But to cling to the truth, this is the right thing to do. But it's sometimes dangerous. Many people were killed, including Gandhi himself, in the struggle for Indian independence and freedom. Sometimes I think, though, the hardest thing is simply to resist often very small acts of, you might say, evil, of harm, by people we know, people we love. To respond, not let it go, when a friend or a member of our family says something that we think is actually pretty racist. They get called microaggressions sometimes, or a better term might be subtle acts of exclusion. And they're so pervasive and so difficult and so interwoven in the good, in good people and good communities, all of us, myself included, that it's a project of mine for this year to help train us all in noticing and responding to subtle acts of exclusion. And the hardest thing, after noticing them, if you're not one of the people actually targeted, if you're a bystander, is to respond in the moment to somebody you care about. I think of this moment in To Kill a Mockingbird where, of course, they're living in the Confederate States in Alabama, and this battle is coming, this deep, deep expression of the deep conflict between black people and white under Jim Crow is coming, and Scout, I think it is, says something about how hard it is to fight, like we had to fight in the Civil War. And her father says, yes, but that time we were fighting the Yankees, and this time we're fighting our friends. And that's what's really hard in many ways. For those of us who it never has fallen to us to pick up a gun or to shield our home from violence, we still encounter evil in small ways, but hurtful ones, in ourselves and in the people we care about, sometimes not so small ways, but even when they're small, how hard is it to catch what's happening and to find a way to resist in that moment? Without returning evil for evil, right? Because all those things sound difficult, I'm sure, and they are. And if they sound difficult, even if they don't harm anyone, like saying to a loved one, ouch, I really disagree with you, or oof, you know, I think the implications of what you're saying are very problematic. If those are difficult too, maybe that's because some of us have been trained so thoroughly in being nice. White lady here. We're supposed to be nice. And maybe Paul would laugh at the thought that this is returning evil for evil when somebody says something homophobic or transphobic or racist in our presence, or they say something in support of a policy that we want to say, that's really, really going to hurt people. I want you to know that. I think that that is going to do evil if that policy goes through. It doesn't hurt them, but it might hurt their feelings. Makes them feel very uncomfortable. Faces them with something that they need to change. Brings up a conflict that we could just let go. And we're trained not to make people uncomfortable. If you're listening to this and thinking, I didn't get that training, first of all, you're probably from New York City. And hey, we need you. Second, come talk to me afterwards, because I could learn from you. Because I, like many of us, were trained to be nice. And that being good, resisting evil, is somehow equivalent to returning evil for evil. But it's not. It is not. And so we get confused between being nice and being good. And that's the irony, is that sometimes being good requires being not very nice, certainly making things uncomfortable. Maybe it helps when we distinguish between good and evil, distinguish between resisting evil with all our might, which we want to do, we need to do, lest we be bystanders who let disaster unfold. Bystanders while our neighbors are killed, deported, denied what they need just to survive another night. How to do that without returning evil for evil? Well, there's Mara's arrows. How do we let the arrows of evil that come our way or come towards someone else turn to flowers? And I think what helps there is maybe remembering that the actions are evil and that we all have things that are hurtful. Good. There's the continuum. And maybe if we hold that in our hearts, I know people hate this expression, but it's not a bad one, really. It's a deep truth. To love the sinner and hate the sin. To say, I am not going to let that statement go by. I am not going to let that policy pass if I can possibly stop it. I am going to oppose where I see evil with all my fiber, all my grit, but I'm going to remember that those are the arrows coming at me, are those actions. I don't need to aim them back at any person. I just need to stop them. And for those of us who have been trained in being nice and subtly, quietly taught the great lie that being nice and being good looked exactly the same, we might need to remember they may still cry. They may cry foul. They may say, that hurts. They may say, you can't talk to me like that at Christmas as a family member, as a friend. They may say, you're doing the same thing that you're accusing me of doing. Paul knew about this too. He said, when you are good to those who want to persecute you, you pour hot coals upon their head. I always felt that maybe Paul was relishing that just a little bit, which I think we probably should try not to do. And we need to accept that it may feel like that. That when we are corrected, that we learn, oh, I just did something really hurtful to somebody. Oh, what do you mean the evil is in me? I did something evil? I'm not a neo-fascist trying to take over the government. Don't pick on me. We're feeling those hot coals. Maybe letting go of that, ha ha, hot coals, but just recognizing it hurts. It hurts to be corrected. But it doesn't harm. In fact, this is what heals us. This is what takes the slings and arrows and turns them into harmless and even beautiful flowers. And really, we're all in it together. Enemies not of one another. At my best moments, I realize this. Enemies not of one another, but enemies together of evil. To stop harm, to stop cruelty and greed when we see them, from whomever they emanate. Something to think about as we go through our nice lives. Saying those words, return no one evil to evil, but for evil, but remembering and resist evil with all the good that is in you.